Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Hard Shoulder
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
The prospect of United Ireland is becoming an increasingly regular point of discussion. The concessions that must be made for a new Ireland being very central to this. One such concession could be dual citizenship on the island as protected under the Good Friday Agreement for those of Northern Irish birth. If this right is afforded to those born in the six counties, should it also be granted to those remaining in the other 26? Well, Paul Gosling is author of A New Ireland, a five-year review, and Emmis D'Souza is writer and political commentator, and you are both very welcome to the programme. To come to you first, Paul, you might just outline what it says in the Good Friday Agreement, the promises that it makes regarding dual citizenship.
It says that there's an enduring right for people who are born in the six counties to identify and to have citizenship either of the UK or of Ireland. And people can choose to be identified as British or Irish or both or Northern Irish. And the Good Friday Agreement, the Belfast Agreement, says that continues across the future. So that goes into the situation in a United Ireland. So if you didn't have that approval for people in the 26 counties, you potentially have a continuation of partition where people in the six counties have different rights than those in the 26 counties, which would seem rather odd to me and inconsistent with the idea of Irish unity.
And just to be clear, if there was to be a United Ireland, that right that is afforded underneath or under the Good Friday Agreement would have to be honoured, you're saying?
Yes, for the six counties, that's right, for Northern Ireland.
And do we know what percentage of people within Northern Ireland do have citizenship of the UK now and have availed of that?
I don't have figures for that, but what I can say is the last census indicated that 800,000 people in Northern Ireland identified as being British. So that's a bit short of half of the population of Northern Ireland. And of course, one of the challenges for Irish unity is to show respect to people who have a British identity, because the future Ireland, if there is a United Ireland, will be a different place from the existing Republic. And there will have to be concessions to make people who regard themselves as loyal British citizens to feel welcome in that new state.
Emma D'Souza, do you think this is something that people living within the Republic of Ireland at the moment who want and who believe in a United Ireland would be comfortable with?
Well, I think Paul's right, first off, Ciara, that this is something that has to continue in the event of United Ireland under the terms of the Good Friday Agreement. But how that works in practice would be quite complicated. And I do think that the idea of British citizenship being rolled out across the whole of Ireland would be probably a politically contentious topic. You know, if you look at
both
just the
history in Ireland and in the UK,
yeah,
I would imagine.
Well, no, I think it would definitely be a contentious topic in Ireland, because if you look at just at the history of independence and after independence of the 26 counties, there was actually a couple of court cases related to British citizenship and a real pushback against continued British citizenship within the 26 county republic. And in the event of United Ireland, I would expect that actually there probably would be pushback against the idea of everybody across the independent 32 county having British citizenship, because it would be unprecedented to have that. What is probably more likely to happen is what happens whenever you have other countries that were formerly British colonies and they now have access to citizenship by descent, or in some cases, double descent, where a grandparent who was born in the UK or a former British colony can't access. Citizenship is the most likely outcome. And anything beyond that would be just unprecedented in terms of access to citizenship in a country that isn't a part of the UK.
But do you hear what Paul is saying there, that if we have sort of this right for people living in Northern Ireland and it wasn't extended in the same way to the rest of the Republic, that then that would in actual fact kind of continue a type of partition here on the islands?
Absolutely. It's a very valid argument to make. It would have two different types of citizenship across the island. It would also be complicated in terms of the practicalities of, well, if someone's born here in County Fermanagh, but, you know, they cross the border into a hospital across the border and they happen to be born in Monaghan, then they have different rights. It's very complicated. And it would be much simpler simply to have access to citizenship, dual citizenship across the whole Ireland, that would definitely be an easier option. But just from a sort of legal and legislative point of view, it would be an unprecedented move, and it will be completely within the remit of the UK government. And I don't think that it's something that the UK government would actually concede to.
And Paul, are there people, do you think, living in the Republic of Ireland at the moment who would like this dual citizenship? I mean, have you spoken to anybody who says, yes, I would like this option to be made available to me in the case of a united Ireland? Is there a demand?
Well, for a few people, yes, there is. I mean, I certainly have met people, one of whom is a senior politician who was born in Donegal and sought to achieve British citizenship. So for a few people, there are. I don't think there's a massive number of people that are born in the South that would actually want to have UK citizenship. But I do think that a significant number of people who identify as British within Northern Ireland would see it as a potential concession. But just to emphasise the point, this isn't simply something that would be unpopular with many people in the South. It's actually the reason why I wrote the article was the fact that I've done a series of events around launching my new book, and there was significant opposition amongst Republicans living within Northern Ireland to the idea of British citizenship being available to people in the rest of Ireland. So this isn't simply something that could be resisted within the South. It's also something that will be resisted in the North.
And what were their reasons for that?
There's an desire within republicanism to eradicate the British identity within the island of Ireland. I think that needs to be recognised. And I can understand why that is. I mean, post-colonial societies generally want to get rid of the remnants of the dominant society. So you can fully understand why that is. I mean, but we have to recognise that certainly for those born within the North, it's part of the Good Friday Agreement, the Belfast Agreement. So that needs to be continued, recognised and continued. I think we have to recognise that not everything that everyone wants from Irish unity will be achieved.
And do you think that's been a difficulty for people living in the Republic, and indeed for nationalists living in Northern Ireland, to accept that they might want a united Ireland, but they're not comfortable with the realities of that, or indeed the concessions that they might have to make?
Yes, that's, I think, part of what we need to do in terms of planning for the future of Irish unity. Clearly, we don't know the details of how a united Ireland would work. We're not there in terms of a border poll. But I think this is the right time to think of some of the practical challenges that we need to recognise and deal with. And we will have to have, within a united Ireland, concessions made to people with a British identity. So we need to think about what type of things we are willing to concede. I mean, there's been discussions, obviously, around the flag and the anthem. Also, with discussions around the future of the Irish language within the united Ireland, and also the constitutional structure about whether Stormont will continue. And we need to have a rounded conversation about all these matters, about what a united Ireland would look like.
But what to the point that Emma made a little earlier, that this, there'd be pushback, yes, in the Republic of Ireland, but actually there'd be pushback in the UK. This would be unprecedented for them to offer this dual citizenship or the UK citizenship to people living in somewhere like the Republic of Ireland.
Yeah, I think Emma's completely right. I agree with everything that she said.
So it's highly unrealistic that this would be offered.
Well, I think it creates political challenges. Whether it is highly unrealistic, I'm not sure. But we will have to consider about what the options are, and it could be that a future British government would be willing to concede that. But clearly it creates difficulties for the British government as well as for the population across the island.
Emma, Paul mentioned there that there was, in his opinion, just a very small number of people who might take up dual citizenship if it was offered in the case of a united Ireland. What would the benefits be for people living in the Republic now to have that dual citizenship?
Well, I mean, post-Brexit, Ciara, what are the benefits? I'm not entirely sure, but of course, and it is a very small percentage. I did some work on this previously in terms of people who were born in the Republic of Ireland accessing British citizenship by descent, and it's a very small number of applicants. And I think that, you know, there are very limited benefits at this point. You might have some benefits, like, for example, if you were going to go to Australia or Commonwealth country, there might be different options in terms of visas that you might be able to access.
But and that they tend to offer slightly longer visas, don't they,
yes,
to citizens of the UK as opposed to the Republic of Ireland?
But, you know, in terms of other things like education and stuff, because of the common travel area, Irish citizens and British citizens in the UK and Ireland, you know, enjoy the same benefits and rights. So there would be very little tangible benefit to it. But I do want to pick up on Paul's point around concessions and that pushback from within nationalism, because I think that's a really important point. And actually that point around pushback from those advocating for United Ireland, that is probably the group that I have also found to be most adverse to the idea of concessions or changes in the event of United Ireland. And we do need to create that space to talk about things like the flag, the anthem. But I don't like to talk about those things in the sense of it being a concession to unionism. I actually think we need to frame this around just creating a new Ireland for all the identities that now exist and the plurality of what it means to be Irish in present day. Because when you frame it as a concession to unionism, I think that also creates that kind of negative pushback from those who are pushing for a certain type of United Ireland that really is about subsuming the North, which, of course, we don't want to see. We want to try to see this as an opportunity to really address systemic problems North and South and create something new.
Paul, you also had an interesting line in that article in the Irish Times today where you talked about the need perhaps for external negotiators to come in and find these compromises and find these concessions and agree what a new Ireland might look like. People won't like that idea. People won't like the idea of this new Ireland being enforced on people living in the Republic, will they?
I think we do have to face a number of problems. And the history of Northern Ireland is that if you leave negotiations just to the politicians of Northern Ireland, then they find it very difficult to reach compromises, to reach agreements.
And because they're looking to be re-elected.
Well, not just that. I mean, it goes back prior to the elections themselves. I mean, it is just really difficult for people who are representative of very hardline communities to negotiate and to make concessions and make agreements. And so it has been important in particular for negotiators from the United States to come in and bring people together and to negotiate outcomes. It's been pointed out to me, suggested to me that something similar might be needed in terms of reaching agreement over the shape of Irish unity. And again, it might be something that people are not entirely comfortable with.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there. But my thanks to both of you for joining me. Lots of texts coming into this already. There's more of a chance that the Republic of Ireland would rejoin the UK than the Loyalists agreeing to United Ireland, says one texter. Would we be given automatic British citizenship all over Ireland if we all joined together? Don't think so. I was born in Northern Ireland and I've always been entitled to a British and an Irish passport, so this is nothing new. Maybe the Irish Republic should rejoin the British Commonwealth and maybe why not have a British Isles passport? Would love to hear from our listeners this evening on that idea. And finally, a very practical Irish view in all of this. I knew a guy who used a British passport rather than applying for an Irish one because the British one was cheaper. You see, you always have to look after the pennies.
The Hard Shoulder
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.